Sit a little bit, and I'm sure you're happy with that. Some knows me by Brother Jean-Louis, others by John, but others by Brother Trudeau. This morning I get up early and I was praying, and I said, God, there are so many people here that I owe appreciation and thanks, because we went through a lot lately. Some know, some don't. I lost my wife 6 months ago. A beautiful girl. A beautiful girl. And I was blessed with a friend. Somebody I could speak with, walk with, share with, cry with, laugh with. Somebody that I could really count on all the time. Good time, bad time, she was there, shoulder always there. A mommy that was so wonderful, mother that was great. I was blessed, so blessed. But you know, I heard all those testimony about being healed. She was with cancer, she had breast cancer. And here there's people that send me a shawl, prayer. We pray, we put it on her, and we believe all the way through that she was to heal. We did, and that is something that is in my heart. I believe that she was to be healed, and she is.
Yes.
But I want to say this: the day that she passed away, or the night she was at home, my son just got to come in time to be with us all, my 5 kids all together with my wife. And I saw my son and said, Mom, I promise you, crying, I promise you, Mom, I will serve God. I will serve God with all of my heart. I will dedicate my life. It'll be hard, but I'll do it, Mom, I promise you. And I saw her hands relax. Because she always said, if I die and my death bring my kids to serve God, it will be all worth it. And you know, they come home and there's some that heard what I'm going to say, but I'm going to repeat it for the sake of everybody. They came home and they put her in a bag and they left with her. And I know it was only her body, but it's kind of it's hard. And I was turning in circle, went to the kitchen, went to the other room, and didn't know what to do. And I was a little lost in all that, overwhelmed. And I went to my bedroom, I said, Lord, speak to my heart, please. Tell me something. I need some encouragement. And I opened my Bible and I got those verses and I want to share them with you if it's okay. And I opened my Bible and I didn't search anything. I opened my Bible. And I got Proverbs 31:10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the day of her life. And yet, track my eyes a little down. It says, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She always was ready to take in people or to help those African brothers, sisters coming in, teaching the sisters how to not go to the river to wash their clothes, and to do things with them and be with them and help them out. She was a woman that loved people, and she was there for people. If you want me to describe her, it was like she was so hidden but yet so present. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtues, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She feared the Lord. She truly did it. And I'm telling you, she was a friend to me. Good friend. It's a great loss, a great gain for heaven. And you know, it all happened so fast, but yet it seems so close. We had the funeral about 2 weeks after, because I had family coming from all over the States and I had to give them time. And after the funeral, I was asking God questions. I said, Lord, why did you take her home? You know, you have a right to ask him questions. I believe in healing. But he came sweetly and told me, time is short. And I'll do a quicker work with her death than with her healing for your children. In other words, he will use her death to make my children want to serve God so much. And I saw my son coming from one side of the fence, jumping on the other, and wanting to go all the way and race. I saw my daughter Elisa want to serve God more than ever. And I see my household wanting to serve God. And I know my wife is looking down upon us, and she, because God allowed that, you know, when we speak about the same program, said God allowed the saints to look down, see how he loves you, and she's waiting for me. And I want you to know that in all that, I am thankful. Because all things work together for the good of those who love God. The only thing I want to finish with is this. For you young people that look for a wife, don't look for somebody that will love you halfway. I look for somebody that will love you all the way. For you that already are married, make sure that you love that girl. Make sure that you build a house, a home with memories, sweet memories. For you that maybe lost that vision, still with your wife, work it out. God is willing to heal that house, heal that marriage. Because someday when you'll be alone, because she passed on, you'll have to live with those memories. I can tell you they're sweet. I am blessed because all the memories I have are sweet. And I encourage you to just have those sweet memories. If anything happens, make a way that these memories will be sweet. It's precious. May the Lord bless you.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ. His,
bless you this morning. Certainly good to be here. Thank you, musicians. That'll be all. Just want to say again that I always enjoy coming here. It's funny. I was talking to Sister Sarah last night, and I said, you know, of all the camps that I'd like to bring my grandsons to, and they're coming. It's this one right here. I really do enjoy it. I enjoy the spirit here, the atmosphere, the freshness, the relaxation. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Brother Jeff and Brother Lonnie and the ministry and the church for putting this camp on. They certainly have, this is certainly our grace that they extend to us, and they certainly go to a lot of work. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, there's certainly nothing that I could add, Lord. All I could do is take and revitalize our hearts and maybe look at something in a new way. But in the end, Lord, I just want to say that I love you with all of my heart. I want to thank you for your grace this morning. I'm depending on your blood as I stand here, Lord Jesus, to protect us, to teach us, to guide us. I'm unworthy to be here this morning. But because of your blood, Father, I take and I'm glad to be here in your presence. I so want to thank you for the Spirit here, for the messages that we've heard, that truly we've heard from heaven this week. I'm so blessed to sit and listen as you speak to us from that other dimension, the same way you spoke to the woman at the well from that other dimension. So this morning, Father, I just dedicate myself to your service. And again, we know that the words are eternal. They will never return void. And help us and anoint us this morning, Father, for your glory and for your honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you'll take your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Certainly, it's kind of a special day for us. Sister Sarah's birthday today. 29 and holding. Yeah, 29 and holding. So I did what I'm supposed to do. I went and bought flowers this morning. Gave her a kiss this morning. Breakfast in bed this morning. See, Brother Beckett's ministry is having an effect. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, and then we'll go to verse 18. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, I'm sorry. But you know the scripture, so let me just move ahead to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not... So there's a plug for understanding something about the word. And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. This is he that received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and aeon with joy receiveth it, yet hath not root. Watch this. I so love this verse. Hath not root in himself. Doesn't say hath not root in the word. He's lacking root in himself. But dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He that receiveth seed amongst thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and here we go again, and understandeth it. So now you know there'll always be work for fivefold ministry to help that seed grow into good, tender, fertile ground. The ministry is not the seed, but we do cultivate the ground for the seed to go into, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 22. I want you to notice that all of those scriptures pertain not so much to the seed. It's taking for granted the seed is genuine, but there's a difference in the soil. So in other words, that parable is really not about seed as much as it is about soil. Now over here, we're going to come to a little different perception. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now watch this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Remember, the parable there was about the soil. But now, when Peter's on the scene, now he's already looking at the seed. And he says, there is a corruptible seed. Right? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And then I love this thought. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now just turn a little bit to 1 John 3:9. We'll get all most of our scripture reading done. 1 John 3:9, again about seed. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to take a thought this morning on spiritual seed technology and wonderful and for a subtopic, I'd like to talk about a topic called Roundup Ready Christianity. Hey, you knew what you expected when I was coming to the pulpit. It's going to be different. Now, what I've told myself this morning is I'm going to force myself to slow down. Sunday it might be different, so that we get some terminology down real flat, because we'll be using it quite often. But let me just go back and think of the thought of the sower and the seed, and let me read something for you from the prophet's message. And this is from the message called Spoken Word is the Original Seed. And Brother Branham says, now we left off where the last days, when what's happened to the ministry of the evangelists, that a few years ago they were just burning up the country and seemed like all of them, they've just stopped. Now I don't mean that they're off the field, they're still going, but their results seems like, well, they're not getting anywhere. See, what's the matter? The field's been done, sowed, see? Now remember, don't forget, somebody asked me to repeat the Hebrew word again in Joel chapter 2. He's speaking of the former and the latter rain, and the word former is the Hebrew word for more, which means teaching. In other words, it'll be a teaching rain and a harvest rain. Now, We've had a teaching rain, and we're ready now for the harvest rain. Remember, this is 62. Watch the year, 62. We're ready now for a... We've had the teaching rain, looking back in 62. Now he's looking ahead, and he says, we're getting ready for a harvest rain. And then he goes on to say, you know that the first rain is when you plant the seed. So when you plant the seed, let me just say it for our American part of it. We plant the seed, and then we need a rain right after the seeding to watch, to literally germinate the seed, which means to have the seed die. Think of it. The first rain is there to make the seed die because of the law of life is going to start taking force now. And the law of life is you can't have life without death. All right? You got to remember that. The law of life means you can't have life without death. In order for something to live, something has to die. And the same thing goes in us. In order for us to live, sometimes we have to die to an old idea. If we don't die to an old idea, we can't live to a new revelation. You see what I mean? So that what I'm saying is the life and death process is going on in your skin every day, but it's also going on in your spiritual skin, because every day you're dying to yourself so that you can live to Christ. And if you refuse to die, you will not live again. All right? Because that is the law of life. You can't have life without death. All right. So now it goes on to say, now to start your crop growing, you need the first rain. Then when it matures, there comes another rain. And that's what we call the harvest rain. You know what it is. That's the spring rains. And then you have rains about, you know, later on in June to make your crop start growing. The rain. Now the rain is found out in the spirit that we have left off the thoughts from the whole thing. And I believe the rain has been brought again. Now watch. The reason that we're quietening down is because the ground's already sowed over. Think of that. Watch what's happening. The ground's already sowed over. You can't find hardly anywhere but what's been sown. Now watch. And it's gone through radio, television, tapes, word and everything. It's sowed the country down. It's planted seeds. Now, what seeds was planted? You cannot get anything else from it but what the seed was that was planted. Now, you understand that it'll be the seed that's been planted. Now, the Spirit will fall. The Spirit will fall, but it'll bring forth a harvest of what the seeds was. That is what it's going to be falling on. Now, we all understand that quite well, and that's not very hard, but just to lay a bit of a foundation, what I want to do this morning is I'd like to, let me just go on a little bit over here. And let me just go and just to lay a bit of a background here this morning. I'd like to, when you think of seed sown, I want you to realize that this is a universal principle, because Christ has sown seeds ultimately into His Eden, into His world. But the messenger also sowed the seeds for the age. All right? Now, the law of the sower has different levels in it. Christ sows seeds, that's true. But the messenger also seeds for his age. And then to move it along a bit further, the pastor also sows seeds into the church. All right? He becomes a sower, and he's going to get back exactly what he planted. If the preacher sows frustration, he'll get back frustration. If the preacher sows faith, he'll get back faith. If the preacher sows doubt, he'll get back doubt. If the preacher is angry and he sows anger, he'll get back anger. Does that make sense? That's why one of the most important things of a fivefold ministry, get yourself out of the way. Because if you don't, you'll reseed yourself. And that's not Christ. So there's a preacher sows into the church. He becomes a sower. And also the father and the mother, they sow into the home. They become a sower also. So you realize that the law of the sower reaches to different levels. Now let me just go on down over here. And I went too far and too fast. So we'll back up one here. I went down the road. Brother Branham speaking on the topic. He says, I went down the road and I found the word of discrepancy. And so I got the dictionary and I looked up what this word discrepancy means. It means sowing discord or being contrary. As Webster says, sowing a discord, something different, or being contrary to what's already been. So let's go a little bit further. I want to read just one more for you. And we realize also that every promise is a seed. And Brother Branham says, notice that any divine promise of God is a seed. So now we understand that the law of sowing and reaping goes down on different levels, and that the seed in the right ground, it'll produce its kind. Corn will bring corn, barley will bring barley, wheat will bring wheat, and any divine promise of God will bring the results if it's placed in the ground and there watered with faith, prayer, and trust. God will bring it to pass. I am saying that with experience. All right, now let me just stop that part of it. Let me introduce to you some terms. First of all, there's basically, and I enjoy this stuff because the natural always types the spiritual. And I've learned to realize, to see God in the types of the natural. And so let me introduce some terms. First of all, God's spoken word is the original. Now that's important. When God speaks, the movement of God is the spoken word. When God speaks, that is already the movement of God. Now we know that God in the beginning, He had everything original. And in the original, it had certain characteristics. Well, like I said, I'm doing this for me, not for you. This is an original seed plant. All right, let's say this is original. No, this isn't happy weed. This is soybeans. Now, when God plants something original, watch this. This original needs original sunlight, original rain, original minerals, because it's an original seed. It lives on original elements. Because it's original, this has the ability to reproduce itself. Because it's original. Now, what has happened is, man has decided that, you know what? There's just not enough money in leaving original things original. So they've tampered with it, and they've said, I can produce just as good a product. It looks exactly the same. Can you tell the difference? Let's say this is man's invention. All right, which is man's invention? You can't tell the difference. Now, with God's invention, it reproduces itself, and it is dependent on God's original characteristics. With man's invention, what they've done is they've altered the seed inside of here so that when this plant will die, and when this seed will be harvested, this seed will not reproduce itself. Now that can only happen when they've genetically distorted the engineering of the gene seed of the plant itself. So what happens is now man has made a plant. It looks just as good as the original, but this one cannot reproduce itself. But then man looks at it and says, but you know what? That's just not quite good enough. Because what's going to happen is we can't make enough money. Then all that happens is you got to come to us to buy the seed again. And that just isn't quite enough. So what we've done is we'll devise another plant, and that's this one. Now, can you tell the difference? No. They all look exactly the same. Now let me introduce something to you. The parable that we just read in Matthew 13 shows how that, remember that the good man goes and sows the good seeds, and then the evil comes and sows right beside it. But the instructions are, do not pick them out, don't pick out the weeds, because they look so close to the same,
You'll probably pick up the wheat thinking that it's weed. The instructions are leave it to the end. Now in the Bible parable, the weed they were talking about was a darnel. And the darnel was absolutely perfect that even the experienced people couldn't decipher which is the real seed and which wasn't the real seed. And as a matter of fact, one of the only ways that you could tell is if you would eat the tear, that the tear, if you'd eat the tear, it would give you convulsions and a headache when you eat it. And that's the only way that you could tell is to eat it. Well, I got news for you. That's, now you'll understand why. When you eat the book, it doesn't give you convulsions and it doesn't give you headaches. It gives you life. You see what I mean? If you eat the original, it will give you life. If you eat death, it'll give you a spiritual headache. So man decided, boy, that's no good because you know what? We can do the same thing. But what we need to do is, we need to figure out a way how to take out the weeds and how to be able to spray for a weed and still leave the weed alone. So what they did was this. They invented something called Roundup. And this isn't Roundup. But they invented something called Roundup. And what it is this. Roundup is not a chemical. Agent Orange is a chemical. All right? But Roundup is not a chemical. Roundup is a sugar. Matter of fact, it's plant food. As a matter of fact, it's in the sugar family, which the plant needs, but it's one molecule off of the original molecule of the food that the plant needs. So scientists invented Roundup, which is one molecule off of the original. I hope you're all going ding, 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 ding. Now watch. The point being is the plant needs a green leaf to absorb the food. So what happens is if you take Roundup and then you take and spray the original with Roundup, and this won't happen, but I'll lead the demonstration. That's supposed to go on the... Okay, let me do it like this. Now it's got it. If this hits the ground, it dissolves, so there's no residue. It's just sugar. But if this hits the leaf on an original plant, 2 days later, the plant starts to die at the roots. The death starts right here, but it looks good on top. That's why when we sprayed Roundup, you know, I've sprayed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. Have I said that yet? Thousands of acres of Roundup. That we would spray Roundup on a hot day, and what would happen is the Roundup would hit the green part of the leaf. And already 2 days later, we'd say to the farmer, go ahead and cultivate. We got a good kill. But the roots were dead. But the plant was dying already. And what happens if you spray Roundup, which is a perverted food, on an original plant, it dies. But they said, listen. That Roundup is okay to spray the weeds before we put the seed in. But how do we get the weeds sprayed when the plant is already up? So this is the original. It died. You see that? Tout fini. Finished. Done. But now, what do we do with the weeds when this plant is already this high? Well, let's genetically engineer the plant so that when we spray Roundup, it's not affected. And it lives. So this genetically engineered plant can live under a hybrid message and live. But a real believer, if there's something fishy about what's being preached, it's death to him. And he's looking for a way out. Because I want you to remember, the word preached isn't just ink on paper. Jesus says there's coming a day when you'll have to worship me with the right spirit and the right truth. Because you can have the right ink on paper and the wrong spirit. It's still death to the believer. Because remember, you're not just feeding from the minister. You're not just feeding from the minister from the words he speaks. You're literally feeding from the minister's personal experience in his heart is what you're feeding on. You're feeding on the minister's spirit and what comes out of his mouth. And if the minister's spirit in himself is perverted, though he says the right words, there's still a strong spiritual transformation going on. And if you've got a real seed gene of God, he cannot live under a perverted message because it's death to him. But there's other ones that already are genetically engineered in the seed. They can sit in church for years and they don't detect the fact that it's already perverted. So Roundup is a perverted one molecule off plant food that causes death in the original seed, but it doesn't cause death in a genetically engineered seed. Everybody said? Amen. Now, what they've done then is they've said, in order to have them keep coming back to me to buy seed, I will sterilize the seed so it can't reproduce itself. And that way, if I'm, I don't know what you got for seed companies here. Let's say you've got a company called ConAgra, which I know you do in America. That way you keep on having to go to ConAgra to buy your seed every single year. And now you start to understand why we're actually in a danger spot where countries can hold other countries hostage by agronomics. Because that country is dependent on this country, not just for seed, but also the inducer and the promoter genes to turn or turn on or off the seed. So we're really in a position now where America, because that they're the leaders of technology, they could hold a country hostage and said, listen, you can have the seed to grow, but you forgot you need something from me to make the seed grow. And I'll explain that. All right? Original seed. Here's the terminator gene, which won't reproduce itself. Now, they've invented another seed, and this one is called the traitor gene. Now, let me explain that. What they've done is they've produced a seed that says, okay, I will be able to take the seed, and I'm going to take and put it, sell it to the farmer, but I know that the farmer is going to need fertilizer, pesticide and herbicide through its growth process. Okay? I love this. You'll like this. You'll like this. Through the course of maturity, they're going to need a pesticide. They're going to need some fertilizer. Now, the problem being is, if I bought the seed from Federated Co-op, I can shop around to see what's cheapest for my pesticide. I can go to ConAgra, I can go to Federal, I can go to Co-op, and whoever gives me the best deal on my herbicide, I'll go buy the herbicide even though I bought the seed from ConAgra. I'm just using this as an example. I'm not a terrorist. So what they've decided to do is we will come up with a traitor gene. And a traitor gene is this. They have genetically engineered this plant so that if you buy the seed from ConAgra, it'll only respond to ConAgra's fertilizer. And if I go buy fertilizer, which is cheaper from Federated, and I can put as much fertilizer on this plant as I want, it won't respond at all. Because it's been genetically engineered only to respond from one line of genetically engineered fertilizer. So in other words, if I can take the, now with the traitor gene, there's much more money in a traitor gene than there is in a terminator gene. Because if you buy my traitor gene over here, there's six characteristics in here that I can turn it on or I can turn it off. It's like buying a tractor. You can sell a farmer a tractor. How big a motor do you want? Do you want air conditioning? Oh, you want a cab? Oh, you want a front-end loader? Well, why didn't you say so? It costs you more to have a cab and it costs you more to have a front-end loader. Well, what they've done is they've taken the seed and they've genetically engineered it so that it can, oh, do you want a short growing season? Okay, we'll make you a short growing season. Cost you an extra $5 a pound. What about, oh, you want it pest resistant? Oh, that's another $7 a pound. Oh, you don't want pest resistant? We'll turn that gene off. And they've literally engineered the gene itself so that it only responds to certain products that come along. The traitor gene. Now, having said all of that, let's go to the film. I want to show you a clip on the board just for a bit of an introduction, which I thought was tremendous. And I got I'm giving you the introduction part of 15 sermons. So you're just getting the touch of it here.
So a lot of us don't know what it takes to grow food.
Over 12,000 years ago, people began planting and saving seed. Agriculture flowered, and civilizations were born. In China, thousands of varieties of rice were grown. Over 5,000 kinds of potatoes were cultivated worldwide. In the U.S. alone, more than 7,000 varieties of apples were grown in the 19th century. In the 20th century, the face of farming underwent a radical change. The manufacture of nitrogen-based bombs during World War I led to the development of nitrogen-based chemical fertilizers. Nerve gas, developed during World War II, was slightly modified to make insecticides. DDT was the hero of its generation. New technologies promised higher yields, increased food production, cheaper prices, and greater availability. By the mid-20th century, these technologies, along with new developments in plant breeding, led to the Green Revolution.
I think the people who first imagined the Green Revolution had good hearts. Lots of people are starving around the planet. That's long been the case in human civilization. Their thinking was, if we could just systematize agriculture like we did industry in the 1800s and bring it worldwide, bring one system that works, we can solve the problems that people have long had with agriculture.
The next several decades saw a remarkable increase in production. Year after year, huge fields were planted with only one variety of crop. These monocultures created an ecological vacuum that insects and disease could exploit. This uniformity has led to some of the greatest agricultural catastrophes of mankind. In the mid-1800s, very few varieties of potatoes were cultivated in Ireland. When they became diseased, 1 million people died. When the same potato blight attacked Peru, they suffered fewer consequences. Today, only 4 varieties of potatoes are widely grown. 97% of the varieties of vegetables grown at the beginning of the 20th century are now extinct. Genetic uniformity leads to an increased vulnerability to insects and disease. Farmers found themselves trapped on a pesticide treadmill. The more they sprayed, the more they had to spray. The increased use of fertilizers, pesticides, and herbicides increased costs, polluted water, and created health risks. Then in the 1970s, Monsanto introduced Roundup. Because of its ability to kill most weeds, it became one of the most popular herbicides in history. In the mid-1990s, building on technologies that use gene splicing, the Green Revolution turned into the Gene Revolution. Capitalizing on the new technology, Monsanto genetically modified its seeds to be Roundup ready. Normally, Roundup kills anything green, but if the plant is Roundup ready, when it is sprayed, it doesn't die. Now the company that sells you the herbicide also sells you the seed.
a generation ago, farmers would seed a crop and use a herbicide when necessary, but often they wouldn't need to use a herbicide. And today you have a crop that, right when it goes in the ground, is designed to be sprayed.
With Monsanto's BT corn, the corn itself is registered as an insecticide. This is because every cell has been engineered to manufacture BT, a natural bacterial toxin. If a corn borer eats any part of the plant, it will die.
And now that we have genetic engineering, we're not just, you know, putting chemicals in this food, we're actually industrializing the food at the genetic cellular level.
One of the most controversial aspects of the gene revolution is the patenting of seeds.
I'm going to stop that there, Sister Sheridan. That film is interesting. And the reason is because when you look at the evolution of how they've come along with the food end of it, because the natural types are spiritual, and you realize that a lot of the additives that the things we've learned about agriculture starts in war. You know, they dropped nitrogen bombs and it started to grow better. And they started to do pesticides to kill men and that they could kill bugs. And what you start to realize, there's one time we were in an industrial revolution and they turned it from an industrial revolution, they turned it to a green revolution just to have more volume by monocultures. In other words, one farm produced only potatoes and that's all it produced. But then they ran into trouble. And then it went from there to a gene revolution to where they started going into the molecular structure of the food and altering, cutting out pieces and putting in pieces. Now, it is interesting to me. Now, let me just say this. I remember when I came to this message, and I don't know how it was with you, but when I came to this message, I never heard words like attribute, seed, gene. Where were you before you came here? And I realized all of a sudden that the prophet spoke in a completely different language that nobody knew anything about. And as a matter of fact, I never heard things like seed, gene, attribute. Spoken word is the original seed. And you hear a lot of religion. You hear a lot of monoculture. You hear a lot of volume. But this prophet was different. And he spoke on a different level than I never heard anybody else speak on before. And he's the one that said, listen, you get yourself an original seed, you don't have to spray it, baby it, pamper it. All you have to do, amen. All you have to do is give it a revelation where it came from in the first place by a seed gene revelation. And that will take care of your worldliness. That will take care of your doubt. That will take care of your fear. That will take care of your mood swings. That will take care of what you've done wrong. And then you did it wrong again. And then you told yourself, I'm never going to do it again. And then you did it again. But this prophet gave us a message that was more than conduct control, mind control, trying harder, memorizing verses, memorizing catechism, going to church. This is not that. This is the spoken word, is the original seed. I don't even call it Waldo. But this is a spoken word, the original seed, resistant that we have personally to the sin around us. When I came to this message, I thought, this is amazing. And I realized that just as the natural food chain had developed in different revolutions, that we had also come to a place where it wasn't just a mind thought, a religious thought, it was becoming the mind of God thought, and it was becoming a seed gene thought, and like we've heard so beautifully this convention, that the power to overcome is your origin. All your overcoming power is in where you were before you came here. Because you overcame then already, that you've got to overcome here already now. Because your name was on the Lamb's Book of Life when he wrote down Jesus Christ's name. He put your name right beside it. And that was there before the devil was created. See? You know, you started to realize that you're more original than the devil was. He's the perversion, you're the original. It's no wonder he hates you, because you're standing in his way of being part of the original, you see. Now, as the food was being genetically monitored and looked at, what they did is they also caused death by interfering at a genetic level. Now, we understand that. But, you know, we also got to realize, how does that death come? Where does it come from? Because, I told my church this a while ago, listen, church, we're coming up to the capstone like this. If you notice, the road is getting narrower. It's not a parallel road. It's a capstone road, like this. And if you find yourself, watch this, going up the road this way, and then you're going to come against the wall. It might be right on patience. Now what happens is, you got a choice to make. Remember, it's a capstone ministry. If you're going to go straight ahead, you're going to find yourself outside of the capstone. Have I made this clear? So you got a choice. When the capstone goes like this, you have to humble yourself, move over, and get centered. Okay? And let me say this. You have never seen a better, finer expression of divine love than you are right now. But you've also never seen a better expression of pure evil. Let me use the word, pure evil. Okay? I'm not talking about the drunkard, the alcoholic, and all that vile stuff. I'm not talking about that. We are living in an age of perfect love, but we're coming right alongside just perfect evil. Evil is finer than it's ever been before. Love is finer than it's ever been before. It comes up at the same rate as both of them do. So now, you got to ask yourself, all right, then where does death come in? How can you die in that process? Where does that work? How does that work? And you realize that God sent a messenger to sow the seeds of life, but yet we know that death has to go right along with it. Now, Brother Ben says something interesting, and he says, you know, he makes a couple of comments over here, and you know, these are not new to you, but he says that the life isn't right in high breeding. It's not that there isn't life, but the life isn't right. Okay? And then he goes on to say something that I think is tremendous. Brother Ben says in the Ephesian church age, the cycle of revival and death has never, ever failed. So, if there's life, there has to be death. Right beside it. You can't have life without death. And the cycle of life and revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women, they dressed like Christians, went to church, prayed all night, and took street corners. They weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. And they left their old dead churches and they worshiped in homes, storefronts, buildings. They had reality. But it wasn't too long until after a while they got enough money to build a fine church and they put a choir robe on and so forth. And pretty soon they organized into a move-it. Listen, they organized into a movement. They organized into a movement. Haven't I heard that again? They organized it into a... This is not a movement. We live not by movement. We live by revelation. And they organized it by a movement. And they ran it by a man. And he says, and soon they started reading books that weren't fit to read. Now, how is it that the cycle of death and revival and life can come together so close, and how is it that they can come up at the same rate? So, and I did some studying here a while ago. Let me just show you something here. That when God sends a messenger, when the messenger speaks, it starts a revival. All right? The spoken word starts the revival and becomes life to the age. Now, if you notice, I want you to just notice this, that when the messenger speaks, it's at the bottom of the circle he's sowing. Because remember, the spoken word is the seed, right? The messenger speaks. And you find the revival starts to mount, and it goes up and up and up. And what happens, finally there's the sowing has a reaping. And in that reaping, you find out that there's a cycle. There's a cycle of going up, which is life. But then in the top of the cycle, because remember, the cycle of revival and death never fails. And in the top of the cycle, then the messenger has a message established. And as soon as that's established, God takes him off the scene. And when the death starts in, is when the messenger's off the scene. And now you see the death cycle follow the life cycle. Now let me just say this. That is normal. Now, I did a little study here a while ago in the Luther Revival. Do you know that God called Luther? Luther spoke, caused a spiritual war. He started getting the message available to the people, printing Bibles in German, had a Bible school, had a preacher school. He started printing presses at Wittenberg, Germany. And I want you to notice, there's a whole cycle of revival in Luther's day. And then when Luther established Wittenberg, Germany, where it was the outreach center of the life, watch that he spoke. But already while Luther was alive, the miracle was that he could keep his head above all the fanaticism that followed. I want you to notice that Brother Branham said that when he had this vision one time about the serpent. Remember? The serpent came out of the water and it bit him in the leg where he'd been bit before. And they're trying to elevate him to a place he wasn't. So it was already there. The spirit was already there. But then when God took Luther off the scene, the men missed the revelation that the spoken word is the original scene. And they actually went in Luther's day and started forcing people to keep Wittenberg, Germany alive, because they, by their revelation, thought that Wittenberg, Germany was the revival. Wittenberg, Germany was not the revival, because the revival was the spoken word of the messenger. And that caused the people to look back, starting the death cycle. And now you've got life and death coming out of the same root. But we know that. We expect that. It's happened before. It's got to happen again. It's the evidence that it was life. The fact that death follows. And we realize that, you see, you start to understand, the death cycle is the people not wanting to let go of what was before. They want to hang on to the old revival. And I can read you the quote, and you know the quote as well as I do. A little fear creeps in, and then they say, how can this is so good. How can we protect the revival that we love? And brother says, a fear crawls in, which gives the Antichrist the door he needs to set up a denomination out of a former revival. And it's based on man's protection, is what it's based on. So you realize life, death, man's personal protectionism allows the open door for, brethren says, the Antichrist to step in and say, I protect. Since when do God need your protection for His Word? Because if it's original seed, it has a life of its own. It don't need to be protected, sprayed, sheltered, kept from evil. As a matter of fact, it was meant to challenge evil. thing. The very thing, catch this, come on. The very thing the message was sent for, they want to protect it from. There is something in man that doesn't want to let the old revival go. And you know, now you'll understand why the people so loved David, that when they saw David getting old, and they were looking at the future, and the future sure looked uncertain, that they decided, no, 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 let's get David a young maiden. Let's keep this old revival alive. We love David. We don't want David to die. And they got a maiden to keep him warm, to try and keep him alive, showing that there's something in man that wants to protect what has been and keep it alive. Not knowing that they're straight in a dispensational change. And the future always looks uncertain. But the past looks so certain. Got it? Let me go on just a little bit more. So you realize, let me just move on a little bit and I won't be long. I want you to realize that the natural types of spiritual, that there is an original seed and there is a terminator seed. They can't reproduce themselves. And then there's a traitor seed, which is sown. When they seed it, it's already made to be dependent on somebody. Okay, let me just say this. This seed has been engineered in such a way that when they throw it in the ground, they know you'll be buying pesticide. That's why it's thrown in the ground. All right. And the traitor gene is made in such a way that it only responds to a certain segment of brand. Now, let's go a little further. And Brother Branham says it's because the life isn't right in high breeding. And you know, let's just look at the word denominational spirit. You know, a denomination, it's basically a forced worship by physical or emotional pressure. It's still forced worship. And I just put some different definitions together. And a creed, they say, it's a written or an unwritten idea of a principle. It's an idea of a principle. And, you know, let's just do a little bit more over here. It's also an accepted system of religious or other belief that results in separation. So we realize that the denominational tendency in the spirit has these same kinds of effects. Now, Brother Branham says, watch, a real preacher that comes from a seminary of God's grace, God's calling, it's time tested. Let's go a little more. This is indeed a tragic evil, for the bishops began to maintain that it's no longer required a transparent Christian character to minister either the word or the rites of the church, for it was the elements and the ceremony that counted. This allowed evil men, seducers, to rend the flock. I'll tell you what. I have learned to realize in pastoring the years that I have, the greatest strength I have as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to let the people look all straight through me. See all my good. See all my bad. Feel what I feel. Think the way I you know what I mean? Because my transparency is the resolution that I can have. But when you have a preacher that hides behind ritual and doctrine and church and what they believe, but they themselves are completely covered up where you can't see through them, Brother Branham says that was what has allowed evil men to come in and tear that church apart. Now you know why there is just a few genuine fivefold ministry. Because remember, the preacher doesn't preach from his head. He preaches from his heart. And if he hasn't got a clean heart, though he speaks from his head, if I, as Brother Eugene Brown, have got an adulterous spirit in my heart, I can read you all the quotes you want, and I will end up producing adultery in my church, because the spirit in my heart is transferred on my words found ground that was fertile, and all of a sudden I'll have a church with the same problem that I have. So, we realize that there's a Roundup Ready technology to where though the food is perverted, they're still there. And there's also a way to keep the seed dependent. That's why I absolutely despise missionaries that come with a pocket full of money. Because they can create people dependent on them. It shows to me there's a traitor gene. That was free. Not in my notes. But you be careful that you're not depending on the man. His reputation. His association. You make sure that what is preached brings you to Jesus Christ Himself. There's two methods of seed control. One is the terminator gene, and that's an altered DNA that causes a reaction in the seed after maturity to kill the embryo. It actually leaves the pulp, but kills the embryo, because every seed has an embryo, a reproductive embryo. And then there's a traitor technology, and it activates inside the embryo destruction with an outside activator, and I'll explain that a little later. And what it does, it makes the plant dependent on engineered outside applications for growth. In other words, if I buy a seed from ConAgra, and if I don't go to ConAgra to get the pesticide, it will die. It's engineered to be dependent. Because the seed is made up of three parts. It has a pulp on the outside. It has a reproductive embryo on the inside. And it has the DNA, which is what they're messing with. And what happens is, how does it work? The scientists, they add terminator genes to a crop. The seed company initiates the terminator process before selling the seed by adding an inducer. And I don't know if I'll have time to go into that. There's a tremendous revelation there. The farmers plant seeds, grow plants, mature, harvest mature, but sterile seeds. And how does it work? The technology's success depends on a cleverly controlled sequence of interactions among the spliced in genes. Let me just say something here. This is Brother Eugene Brown. Years ago, I heard one time that if Adam and Eve were to offer their offerings in this day after the seals, that God would reject Abel's offering and accept Cain's. Now let me just say this. You say, how in the world could you come up with that? Those days, I decided, I'm going to figure out how that works. And I started down a neat trail of quotes and scriptures and revelations. And you know what? By the time I was done the eighth one, I could see where that might be the truth. But you'd never grab it just like that. Listen, when I said that, you said, you've got to be crazy in yourself, right? But you know what? If you follow the trail of thought, you could end up there if you don't have a revelation. Now, you say to me, wait a minute, how does that work? I'll tell you how that works. I want you to do something for me. Let's take a look at the first traitor gene that was ever sown. Genesis chapter 2. I want you to notice this. Now, here's something that I'd always wondered about for years and years and years. And I'd always wonder, how is it that Eve didn't catch the lie? Strange. Listen. If I said to you, you see that chair? That chair's green. You'd say, ha, caught it. If I say to you, 1 + 1 = 2, and you'd say, right. And then if I'd say to you, 1 + 2 = 2, you'd say, aha, caught it. Right? If somebody said to me, if you eat of the tree, you die. And then somebody comes along and says, if you eat of the tree, you won't die. I would say, aha, caught it. All right. What happened? How is it that Eve didn't catch the lie? Let me read here something. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Now watch this. Who is repeating who? Eve repeated back to the serpent, God has said that ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now watch. She repeated what she heard. And at this point, she believed what she heard. She repeated what she heard. How do you get from that stand to the other stand, which is completely contrary? What's happened? So now watch. And the serpent said, thou shalt not. She has just said, we shall not eat of it. And the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. For God doth know that eat the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw and so forth. And you know the story. Now, I need you to understand something here so that you'll understand how a traitor gene works. Because remember, a traitor gene is sown to be dependent. Right? The reason for sowing it is to be dependent. Alright? That'd be just like me sowing a traitor gene in you saying, listen, if you want to come to a good church, go to Edmonton, come to my church. You know that's a traitor gene. For sure. Although I do have the best church. I want you to catch this. How does a traitor gene work? Because a traitor gene is sown to be dependent. Think of that. Preachers preach so that you can't do without the preacher. That's a traitor gene. Now watch. Eve at one time, she was at this level. And she at this level couldn't be deceived. But you know, something happened that brought Eve down to this level, because at this level you can be deceived. But the serpent first has to take you from your original position and bring you down to a place to where your discernment isn't so good. Right? And that's why you gotta love this message, because this is the only message that I know that points us to our original position. I don't know of any other messenger. Grab any preacher you want that preaches this caliber of overcoming. I don't know of anything that does it. Nowhere, anywhere. And then to confirm what the prophet said in 63, I want you to notice that Christ himself, it was just the head of Christ showed himself, he himself coming down. It didn't show the whole body because the head was coming to the body. And this is the body. To confirm what the prophet said. When Eve was in the original condition, you couldn't deceive her. Because she had a perfect relationship with her Heavenly Father. But what the devil did to her was sell Eve his relationship to the Father first before he introduced the lie. Now, open your Bibles. Let me do a precursor here. You know that the word God is an object of worship? Okay. This can be a God. This can be a God. That post can be a God. God is an object of worship. But the word Lord God includes Elohim, Father, children, becoming a family. Everybody, let me just do a real quick rundown. Everybody understand? God, all God is an object of worship. But when you use the word Lord God, you're saying, Heavenly Father, I'm your son. In other words, this is one relationship. All it is a statue. Somebody I'm not connected with. Something that's higher than me. That's all it is. God is only an object of worship. But when you say Lord God, it's God becoming father, son, daughter relationship. You got it? All right. Genesis chapter 1. All I want to do there is bring out some things over there. Let me do it real fast. Verse 21. God created. Verse 22. God blessed. Verse 24. God said. Verse 25. God made. Verse 26. God said. Verse 28. God blessed. Verse 29. God said. I want you to understand. Genesis chapter 1. It's God, object of worship. God, object of worship. God, object of worship. God, object of worship. It was God, object of worship relationship in the creation. But then I want you to watch verse chapter 2. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heaven and earth which were created in the day that the Lord God had made heaven and earth. Wait a minute. Lord God had made. Now it's not just God, object of worship. Now God is entitling Himself to the Father of this creation. Every time I do this, I get excited, man. Watch verse 5. Lord God had not caused it to rain. Verse 7. Lord God formed. Verse 8. Lord God planted. Verse 9. Lord God grew. Verse 16. Lord God commanded. Lord God said, verse 18, man should not be alone. And now you watch the Lord God attribute has come because now God has become the Father, the seed, the genealogy of what He is creating. That's different than God, object of worship. This is Lord God, Heavenly Father, my Father. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. The way I feel is the way you feel. When I'm sad, you're sad. When I'm hurt, you're hurt. This is not God relationship. This is Heavenly Father relationship. It's not God, like Brother Lonnie says it, creating a family. It's God becoming a family. How in the world did that subtle devil sell her alive to where Eve bought it? You sure? Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, whoa, hold it, hold the phone. You know what he's doing? He's challenging Eve's relationship. He said, hath God said? Hath object of worship said? He didn't say, hath Lord God said. Do you understand? He sold her his relationship first. And a preacher can only sell you his relationship of what he is connected to his Heavenly Father. That's all he can sell you. And the serpent said to Eve, the Lord God made Eve. But the serpent said, hath God said, hath object of worship said? Ye shall not eat of the tree. Watch, verse 2. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit in the woods in the midst of the garden, God hath. She is now confessing his relationship. She has lost her relationship connection. She bought his relationship. She repeated his relationship to his heavenly Father. And now, she didn't catch that. Let me just say this. I thank God for prophet. Because the prophet of the hour took what was once to me, and I'll say this openly, a God, and gave me the revelation. Not the feeling, which goes away when you got a bad day. He gave me the revelation that he took what was once a God and brought me a Lord God. And he proved to me that I'm connected. I'm his son. I'm an attribute. I'm a gene. I'm perfection. I'm an overcoming. He proved it to me. But what he did to Eve was exactly opposite. He took somebody from a Lord-God relationship and reduced them down to a God-object relationship. Whoop. In other words, the serpent, he sprayed her with Roundup. One word off. And the seed that he put in Eve was a traitor gene. It wasn't a Terminator gene because they had Cain. If it would have been a Terminator gene, it wouldn't have had Cain. Now, instead of he brought her from a Lord-God relationship to a God relationship, and in that relationship, he sold her the lie. And now, lo and behold, when Cain grows up, just to see if it's original or not, if it's engineered or not, when Cain grows up, remember, the original seed always responds to the original word. And now you've got an original seed and a traitor seed side by side. And they look the same. How are you going to tell the difference? Now the original seed gets sprayed over both of them. And Cain responds with the right attitude and the right revelation. The original seed responds to the original word. And now, the traitor seed, when the original word is sprayed, guess what? Doesn't connect. Doesn't connect. It doesn't connect. It doesn't connect. And as a matter of fact, it becomes dependent on another force, and it can't do without it. It's totally dependent. Listen, friends, now maybe the scripture verse makes sense to you. You know where the Bible says, Paul warns about men and deceivers coming? He says, watch, but Paul says, deceiving and being deceived. You see, while they're being deceived, got it? While the deception's going on in their hearts, all you can speak of is your deception. Because while they're deceiving other people, they're being deceived. Because what's coming in is going out. You see? Because while they're deceiving, they're being deceived. Because you can only give out what you take in. See? You can only give out what you take in. So now, if you're taking in deception, all you can do is give out deception. But if you're taking in the original seed, the original word, all you can do is give out the original seed, the original word. And if that is giving you life, then all you can do is get life. That's all you can do. And now the serpent, he repeated it again, verse 5. For God doth know, object of worship doth know, that in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And now because the woman had confessed his relationship, she saw that it was good. So forth. I'm going to come to a close there. Let me just finish this last part here. The last engineered seed comes into play very late in seed development when a special switch under the control of the inducer turns on the gene and causes it to produce a toxin, which is actually acid, acidic condition. It always amazes, that's what I like about this camp. It always amazes me how some people are so acidic. They're just... You know what I mean? Criticize. Nobody's good enough. This guy's fault. That guy's fault. Do you know what that does? It literally kills the reproductive ability of a genuine Christian. Literally. Acidic people have a way of killing the ability to reproduce. Jesus Christ again, yesterday, today, and forever. The toxin kills the embryo that is part of each mature seed. Now, the Roundup Ready traitor gene, they found out that the farmers that are using Roundup Ready soybeans use 2 to 5 times more herbicide measured in pounds per acre applied per acre, compared to other popular weed management system used on the most soybean fields not planted to Roundup Ready varieties in 98. Roundup Ready varieties, herbicide, use excess levels on many farms using multi-tactic integrated weed management systems by a factor of 10 to more. Brother Branham says, you know what he says, right? You get an original seed, you don't have to spray them. But you get the other seed, you got a baby, pet, spray. And they're expensive to keep up. Let's all stand. Original life is the original seed, is the original word. That's exactly what I believe. Amen. Amen. So I've enjoyed this session. And I do enjoy this topic. Just want to say that God bless you and appreciate your patience, and you're in for a surprise. Let's all bow our heads tonight as we sing a few songs and worship Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we stand in Your presence, Lord. Amen. I just want to thank You for Your grace. I want to thank You for the prophet's message. I want to thank You for genetic overcoming. I want to thank You for genetic strength and genetic stabilization, genetic forgiveness. Genetic salve, genetic courage, genetic guidance, genetic strengthening law. I so want to thank You for the prophet You sent, Father, to teach us that we're a seed gene of God, and then show us the death cycle and the life cycle, Father, and how it is that we can overcome and stay overcomers, Father. Once and for all, stay overcomers. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your word. For the people, Father, I have some needs in my heart that are just bothering me, Lord, and some things at home that need to be looked after. I just pray, Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy, and give me guidance, leading, and direction. Anoint Brother Harold tonight again, Lord Jesus, as You did last night. It was so tremendous, just so tremendous. We're looking, Father, for the day when the thought will become reality, and when our thoughts will become our literal precursor of our body changes, the result, and we'll give You honor and praise and glory through all eternity. We love You this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen. God's man attributes were manifested to the bride. We've caught the revelation by the last prophet. Yes, we know what I'm raised up for, praise the Lord. The original lie, the original lie, the original scheme, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original lie, the original seal. Eyes of understanding. Brother Jeff.
Marvelous is thy word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know why a preacher would ever feel he would have to mandate holiness. I don't know why he'd have to feel that to mandate strictures and rules. All you have to do is fall in love with Jesus. And you know, when you get that, if you have the gene on the inside, the outside takes care of itself. Just water with the Word, water with the Word. And you know what? That hair just seems to grow. The makeup seems to come off. And it's just the Word that we're feeding on produces a life. Can you say amen? I mean, we can get all the ducks in a row and it'll look nice, but I want an inside-out change. I want an inside-out religion. I believe in preaching holiness, but what holiness does is merely register an amen down in the heart. It's not foreign to a believer. It's not foreign. Something just says, my love is to my Maker. And I love Him so much, I want to do what He asked me to do. It's all about not God, object of worship, but Lord God, relationship. Isn't it wonderful to have? We don't have to protect this message. We don't have to do it. We don't have to make it look right. If there's seed on the inside, it's going to look right. Can you say amen? And I just enjoyed the Word of God this morning. Just enjoyed it. It is truly, truly an invisible union. It is truly, truly a bride's book. It is truly, truly a marriage. It is truly, truly something. It's beyond... I like the way John said it, referring to Jesus. And he looked back in 1 John and he said, "My hands have handled." And notice what John said. He said, "My hands have handled of the word of life." He could have said, "I hunted with the prophet. I fished with the prophet." He said, "My hands handled Word." The preeminence was on the Word. Hallelujah. How many believe this is your love letter? Amen. I've enjoyed so much the harmony. Every year, don't we enjoy this? It's we don't even think about it. It's just something, it just runs so smoothly, so lovely. And we've come, and there's only one celebrity. And that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing one more song. We'll dismiss you with this song. It's manifesting time. The fruit is on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Amen. Don't forget, sisters, young ladies, moms, also at 1:30 to 3:30, Dress for Success. You're going to really, really enjoy that. I wish I could be there. I know it's good. I've read all the material. It's fantastic. And so be sure, if you can, a lot of my own kids, a lot of the folks from our church aren't going to be able to even attend because they're working on the grounds. And I was pleading, working, trying to figure out some way that I could get my own church to be able to come and enjoy this too. But we'll probably have to do it at home. That's probably the only way it's going to happen for our own local church. It's our local sisters doing it, but our own local church isn't going to be able to enjoy it. So they're working on the grounds. So, amen. You know what we could do, come to think of it, though? We can get a bunch of you guys to take these girls' chores. And all the sisters said... And maybe they can come. Amen. So that's at 1:30. I know we're going to have a wonderful time. And then just be in prayer. Like I said, take a nap and come back revived and ready and refreshed for the Word of God this evening as well. Amen. We'll be having a baptism. So far, 3, possibly 4. We'll be baptized. This will be Saturday right after the morning meeting. We're going to go directly from the morning meeting right out to the baptismal pool. Then we'll go over, the ministers will go for the luncheon, and there'll be regular lunch served accordingly. All right, it's manifesting time. God bless you. "Well, the voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping over the mountains and over the hills he runs. I long to hear his voice, I long to hear him say, 'Arise, my love.
and the fruit are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption draweth nigh. Just see that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. The grapes are yours and mine, little foxes spoil the vine, for the vineyard blossoms more, harvest time. Brother Tommy, keep your eyes on things above, don't look at me or you, just see that lovely one, he's coming in plain view. Well, it's manifesting time, and the fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view. Oh, to cap God's chosen bride, redemption's growing nigh. See that lovely one, he's coming in plain view.